Happy Friday, everybody. Sit back and get ready for the Mike and Ricky show. It could get interesting today because Pam is still out sailing on her cruise. Before we get into today's show, don't forget our sponsor is the great travel agency, The Magic for Less Travel, a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for amazing customer service. They work awesome and work really hard for their guests to give them an amazing Disney experience time and time again. Plus the amount of trips they book each and every year because their guests come back time and time again. So drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out that free, no obligation quote. Don't forget, 2019 cruises for the first part of 2019 for Disney Cruise Line are now available. So check those out while you're over there today. Again, themagicforless.com, fill out that free, no obligation quote. Of course, let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's show is also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. When you do your online shopping this holiday season, please support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. It costs you nothing extra. You just use our link. You'll get your Prime benefits, everything you're used to over at Amazon, and it does help support the show very much. So bookmark it today. Again, it's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1245 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Hopefully you're having a great start to your weekend right now. The weekend is here. As soon as we start talking Disney, even if it's late on a Thursday night, it's time to just kick back and have some fun. You've worked hard all week. And let's do this. So joining me today, Pam is still cruising. Yep, she's living the good life that we all want to live. But Pam and or Ricky and I are here to talk Disney with you. We're going to talk some news today. So joining me today, Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, TGIF. And we're going to beat the Gators tomorrow. What's going on, Ricky?
TGIF, and can I just say very, 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 very quickly that good luck to everyone who is running this weekend for Wine and Dine.
That's what I was going to get at.
Let's go, yes. Lizards. Let's get this. You guys got this. You're going to be awesome. And, you know, we love the Lizards. So we're so proud of every single one of you for getting out there and doing your best. So.
Absolutely. Post those pictures all over social media. Hashtag run BOGP so we can kind of look and see everybody. Again, hashtag run BOGP. And again, this is your victory lap. This is the fun stuff. You've done all the work when it was 100 degrees and, you know, 98% humidity this summer getting ready for the miles. Now have fun. And we're proud of you. So also, I got to throw a shout out in here. Big shout out. Now, this just shows how old we're getting and how long we've been doing this podcasting thing. So if you're listening to the show early, like the Andrew method is what I call it, when you grab it as soon as it comes out and listen to the show and let us know if anything went wrong or have any comments. I love that about Andrew. He's a great buddy. So if you're listening to this on Thursday night, it is a special birthday girl's birthday. And this would be Paige's birthday. And so when we started the podcast, she was going to elementary school where Pam and I taught. It's her 21st birthday today on Thursday. So, yeah, she is now an adult. Unreal. I know. What's up? How can she be 21 when I'm only, you know, like 23? It's crazy how that works.
That's crazy. That's so awesome. Happy birthday, Paige.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So, you know, where we're going today. We're going to Fast Eddie's Bon Air. That's right. So St. Louis folks know what I'm talking about. That's right. You got that right. Some skinny fries, some Big Elwoods, and hot chick on a stick.
I miss the skinny fries.
Oh, so good.
I have the best fries at Fast Eddie's. Oh, my goodness. And the peel and eat shrimp.
Because you gotta have those so you wait 2 hours to get your regular food, or otherwise you'll starve. If you've ever been to Fast Eddie's, that's how we're anyway. We're not talking about Fast Eddie's today.
No, this is not an advertisement for Fast Eddie's.
I feel like Mike Shannon all of a sudden. All right, Fast Eddie's. It's the first inning ad read on the Cardinals game. Anyway, so what we're gonna do here is kind of hit some of the news, some of the stuff that's been going on over the last few weeks down at Walt Disney World. We've got a lot of stuff happening. We just kind of talk about it. Pam's not here, so. Not that she doesn't, you know, she keeps us from doing the news. We just thought, you know, let's talk about the news. So, Ricky, the first thing I'm going to talk about is, you know, we saw this earlier in the week. I think Monday's when I saw the news is that 3 new restaurants are coming to Disney Springs, which, wow, I mean, talk about a dining destination. I mean, you have so many, and I'm assuming these will be good restaurants, really good choices to dine. But the thing I noticed when I saw this announcement about the 3 new restaurants coming to Disney Springs is that all 3 of them are Italian restaurants, which, hey, no problem, man. I mean, we're from St. Louis, toasted ravioli and, you know, some Provol cheese on your pizza, and we're good to go. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is, but nobody else has that.
I know.
That's
the same
problem.
But we have a lot of Italian here, and it's good. So we love good
and
Italian.
And I miss Italian. Good, you know, so there's nothing like St. Louis Italian, I'll say that.
Got to go to the Hill. But anyway, again, not a St. Louis show. We're talking about Disney. So
no, there's not.
3 new Italian restaurants coming to Disney Springs, still in the early stages, but what do we know? What do we think we know about this?
So actually, they are connected to the Edison, which has been announced for a very long time. And the Edison is kind of, it's going to be a lavish industrial Gothic style destination. There is an Edison that is in LA. I've heard that this one will be a little more family friendly than that one. So it'll be interesting to see what they actually bring over from the Edison, from LA. But it's definitely got an interesting feel now. So connected to it, they're not going to be in the same, like, they're not like, you can't go, I don't think you can go in the same building, but it's all in the same building. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, a restaurant called Maria and Enzo's. And basically, and I kind of had heard about this, that they were building an, it's themed, like it was in the town's abandoned 1930s airline terminal, which I had heard that there was going to be a restaurant in an airline terminal. So this is that restaurant.
That sounds sweet. Anything dealing with airlines, I love it.
It's going to be transformed into an open and airy restaurant. It features views of Lake Buena Vista and also 50-foot ceilings, interior dining rooms, with artifacts that have to do with air travel, which is kind of neat. So the menu is going to be inspired by Sicily, and it's going to have dishes like arancini, carne, which are rice balls stuffed with meat. Yeah, I mean, you've got me.
Yep.
I'm just going to read the English versions of these. Eggplant parmesan, handmade pastas, including spiral pasta with crab. Yum.
Yeah, I'm in.
And Sicilian baked pasta, which is what I can't wait for. That's going to be delicious. They're also going to have fish and steaks and chops as well. So that's going to be kind of more of your traditional Italian restaurant.
It sounds very much like your mom and pop Italian restaurant here in St. Louis, like a Roberto's here in Forest.
It's very St. Louisan, because St. Louisan style Italian is more of that Sicilian, mm-hmm. From what I understand. So I am super excited about trying Maria and Enzo's. I think it's going to be amazingly delicious.
And for the record, Enzo, one of my favorite Big Brother players. So that's got that going too. He was part of the brigade. Anyway, go ahead. What's the second one? Give us the second one.
Well, speaking of Enzo, the second place is going to be called Enzo's Hideaway. Enzo's own personal speakeasy, inspired by Roman Aperitivo, I can't say that word either, bars. And it's located in the storied Rum Runner tunnels that adjoin Maria and Enzo's. So it's basically, the story is that this is where they would, you know, do rum running and prohibition, and they would sneak in the booze.
I'm just saying, a guy named Enzo sounds like he has a little edge to him.
Exactly.
I've never met an Enzo that's not got a little edge to him and maybe doing a little rum running himself. So that, that beats the thing.
So it's going to be a tunnel bar, supposedly, which I'd heard about. Like, I've heard about these concepts back in the day, and they were different, named after different things, but each of these concepts sounds familiar to me. It's something that they had been talking about for a while. So I guess they just, you know, changed one venue out for another. But they will serve a casual menu of hearty Roman dishes, such as, this sounds really good. I can't even, I'm going to be so fat after eating
That's why you run marathons. The Dopey Challenge. You can eat anything you want. When these things come online, you sign up for the Dopey the next year and you're good.
It's bucatini a la carbonara, and it's hello spaghetti with creamy egg and pancetta sauce. Oh my goodness. I can't even. That sounds so good. And then we have the square cut spaghetti with pecorino and black pepper, which also sounds good as a couple of the dishes that are going to be on the menu. So right there, I mean, you've got two incredible places, and there's another. So you have the third
it's
place,
Enzo,
which is
Enzo and Friends, right? What's
no,
the third place?
No, it's not Enzo and Friends. it is Pizza Point, maybe Pizza Ponte. It looks like there should be another I in there, but there's not.
Whatever. It's Italian.
It's Italian.
It's Italian.
It's a fast casual restaurant, and it will serve pizza, pastries, Italian sandwiches, and espresso. It's going to be a good place for a quick bite. On the savory side, they're going to have things like Sicilian style pizza served by the slice, which is different, of course, than you've got Blaze over there, which I still think Blaze is one of the best values. So it will be interesting to see how this kind of fits in with everything. You know what I'm saying?
I think Blaze is going to be the Subway of pizza. Agreed. And this is going to be like the Penn Station, like maybe the step up of fast pizza.
Maybe.
We'll I'm see. Guessing. I don't know.
All right, we'll see how this goes. They're going to have signature stuffed pizza bread. They're going to have porchetta, roast pork. I hope I said that right. I probably did not. And then to satisfy your sweet tooth, there's going to be pastry specialties like Italian donuts, pastry with rice cream, and tiramisu. Oh, my goodness. Seriously, so fat. Thank you, Disney Springs. This is why I wish I lived in Florida, because I would literally just eat at Disney Springs all the time. Like that, they're doing that. Like that's the smart thing that they're doing.
It's like, where are we going? Like if you lived in Central Florida, be like, where are we going to dinner tonight? Well, we'll figure
Disney
it out
Springs.
When we get to
I'll
Disney
figure
Springs.
It out at Disney Springs. Yeah,
that's what we do in St. Charles. Like, where are we going to dinner? We'll go to St. Charles. Yeah, that's kind of what we do here. But Aaron in the chat in our Be Live chat says that calories don't count at Disney. I'd never heard that before, but if that's true, that's a pretty sweet idea.
I like this idea. I wish that my butt agreed with you. It unfortunately does not. So.
Alrighty then. All right. So moving outside of those three restaurants, what else has been announced over the past few weeks that we want to get here on the show for folks?
Okay. So we also have, so this one kind of surprises me. I'm going to start off with this one because I thought this was all but dead. So beginning in November, Epcot's going to welcome a brand new interactive show to Interventions, and
yes,
it's called the Spectaculab. What?
STEM. It's STEM and STEAM coming to Epcot. And you know what? That's kind of back to the 1982 mission in a way to me. It
seems
is. Like.
Yeah. But seriously, what? Like, I thought it was all dead. So, I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with this. Guests are invited to join a group of real scientists and their tech-savvy intern for a series of thrilling experiments that put scientific principles like ultrasonic pressure, barometric pressure, acceleration, and force to the test. Guests will be able to discover how these scientific principles actually form the foundation of some of the most amazing technologies that we enjoy today. And the sponsor is going to be Murata, which is a global leader in the design, manufacture, and supply of advanced electronic components, and Science from Scientists, a nonprofit organization that aims to improve STEM literacy at schools. So yeah, they're totally bringing back that edutainment factor.
Yes. Think about this.
I mean, just so surprised by this because I really thought that they were, killing off Interventions. I mean, you know, and especially when you think about what they announced with D23 and the concept art that they had, like, I thought that Interventions was bye-bye. Like, they were just waiting for Colortopia to go away, so.
But this is, to me, okay, when I saw this announcement, this is just smart for Disney to do. Okay, you got to think about it, though. And I think Disney is guilty of wanting everything they announce to be the biggest and the best all the time. Like, we got to have this new nighttime fireworks show that's going to be your best ever fireworks show. And it's, you know what? There has to be a time and a place for things that just fill niches and fill in holes. Nobody's really going to travel to Epcot for this. But here's the thing is that right now there's so much nostalgia for Epcot 35, for Epcot 82, you know, like, people want to go back to edutainment and have some of that. You know, I don't think we have to have all of it, but I think you need to have that, especially in Future World at Epcot. I like that it's sponsored by it sounds like a company that has a basis in this and that they can do this right, but it's not, I think it would fail if you go to some huge company like an Apple or like a General Motors, you know, something that's got, you know, like intellectual property. They're not going to give out secrets, stuff like that. Not that this company will, but I think it's better that it's focused on a large company that's kind of an unknown in the United States. But the thing about this is, kids, boys and girls, especially girls, I think, will have the opportunity. Again, I have two daughters, so, you know, that's just kind of how I look at things like this when it comes to science and technology and STEM fields. And I taught this for years, is that it's very much being pushed in a lot of schools around the United States. But I think that there's an opportunity at Epcot to expose kids to really cool stuff. We have a place in St. Louis called the Magic House. Again, not a St. Louis show, but it's called a children's museum where they do a lot of hands-on science experiments where kids might not learn the entire concept of why things happen. But what happens is they walk, and everybody's got these in their towns, you know, your science museum. But, you know, they walk away with like, that was really cool. I need to figure out how, you know, what's the science behind what made that cool thing happen. And I think that, you know, while families aren't going to spend probably 2 to 3 hours in interventions at this STEM-based activity, I think 30 minutes could light a fire under a boy or a girl at the right time to where they pursue that. And now they're more interested back at home in science. And then when you get back into World Showcase, I believe that's where the social studies comes in. You know, you learn more about world cultures and how cultures have interacted over the years. So I think that, you know, right now you have this big empty space and it's in such prime real estate that this could be a huge thing for Disney, especially considering the media wants to, you know, push STEM. You know, it's a very hot term to use in social media. I think this is a definite win, and I think it's not going to be a big headliner, but I think it's going to add to everybody's vacation. I applaud Disney 100 times for doing this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, it's such a genius thing to include, especially into Epcot, which that was the whole point of Epcot to begin with. So I absolutely am 100% for this. Again, I'm just very surprised because I thought that, you know, I really thought that they were waiting for Colortopia's, their partnership to end. I think it was like a 3-year thing or something like that. And we're coming up on that. So, I thought they were just waiting for that. And then they were going to be like, okay, we're closing interventions for good now, you know? So they already got the other half, closed over, near, Soarin'. Mm-hmm. So they've got that part closed and they have the meet and greet in there for, Baymax and, Joy and Sadness, but that's closed off enough so that, you know, you really can't get into any other part of interventions. So I just gotta say, it took me back a little bit. I was like, huh.
Well, and the thing is, like, I think a lot of people will not go in there. You know, like couples, you might not go in there for the Food and Wine Festival because it's not why you're there. You know what? And I think Disney has courage for saying that's okay. Like, not everybody has to pass through there. It might be geared towards kids. You know what? That's fine because Epcot's got a lot of stuff for adults. You know, and I think a lot of adults might enjoy this. You know, I'm the kind of person that would go in there with or without kids just because, you know, I grew up with Bill Nye the Science Guy and Mr. Wizard. I mean, that's my stuff. You know, that's why I got into teaching science. But, you know, everything doesn't have to be for everybody. I think too many times people ding Disney like, oh, man, well, that's not for this group. Well, you know what? It doesn't have to be for everybody. There's things that I don't enjoy at Disney. I mean, shocked to say, but you know what? I just don't go. I could do the stuff I like. You know, like there's plenty to do. So I applaud them for doing that. I can't wait to check it out. So
the only thing, like you said, is because the area looks so empty, that I don't think a lot of people know that to go in there.
Yeah,
you know
that will be a challenge.
Like, because I actually just went into interventions, like the actual interventions. I went in there. I was trying to take a shortcut, and they really do have it all blocked off. But I looked in there, and I mean, there were a few people, a few families in there for the Colortopia thing. But you know, there wasn't a lot. So it does make me wonder. I mean, obviously they're not going to get a huge influx of people to come in there because it looks closed. I mean, you don't realize that Interventions is open a lot of times. I think a lot of people just walk right by it and don't realize that it's open. So
yep. That'll be a challenge. Kind of I mean, they're going to have to let people know that it is in there to go check it out. But I mean, you know, I hope they don't expect, you know, 80% of the guests in Epcot on a given day to be in there. You know, I would say 15 to 20% will win, but it's going to be good for those guests.
5 to 10% that go in there. So,
But I mean, that's fine. You know, to me, I mean, I don't know, you know, how everybody crunches the numbers. I mean, I'm just looking at it makes a better experience for those that want to experience it. And it doesn't hurt anybody who doesn't have that as a part of their agenda. You know what? If you don't want to go in there, you just want to go back to World Showcase and have a good time. Great. You know, that's fine. Anyway, spent too much time on that. Good job, Disney. So what else are we talking about today?
So, Disney finally announced. Now, if you had been paying attention and looked at the concept art or the giant, model that they have at what was One Man's Dream, now is Walt Disney Presents, you would have noticed that in Toy Story Land, there was a small little quick service kiosk that was showcased in the art. And I always saw it and I was like, okay, what's that going to be? So now, finally, Disney has announced that when Toy Story Land opens in the summer of 2018, guests will be able to stop by this quick service window called Woody's Lunchbox.
It's already the best counter service restaurant in Disney's Hollywood Studios, and it hasn't opened yet, right?
Well, it's not a counter service window. It's not a counter service. Oh, it's just a window.
It could still be. I'm just saying, it could still be. It's in the running.
It could still be, yes. Here, Andy has used his lunchbox and his thermos. So if you look at the concept art, you can see his little thermos there. Nice. And you can see that he's used his lunchbox to create a spot that will serve up tasty meals and old-fashioned soda floats. And to bring this location to life. Now, again, we were talking partnerships earlier with Epcot. This is another partnership that I'm like...
McDonald's.
Okay. No, it is Baybel, mini Baybel, that creamy red wax wrapped cheese. Like,
never heard
you know,
of it.
Huh?
I've never heard of it.
Seriously?
Baybel? Uh-uh.
Yeah, never. Baybel, mini Baybel. They're little cheeses that are like kind of like a white cheese. Huh. And they're like snacks. So, you know, a lot of people are putting them in their kids' lunches. Yeah. Makes sense. Lunchbox, right? As a healthy snack for their kids to eat because it's a little bitty cheese wheel thing.
Protein.
And I kind of think it's funny because they're going to have, if you look at the concept art, you can see that they have incorporated the mini Baybel like cheese into the design of the restaurant. So again, I'm kind of curious because I'm like, what's going to happen when Minnie Baybel is no longer the sponsor anymore and you've got this round little thing that's in the shape of the cheese and you're like, huh,
It's brought to you by Velveeta.
I guess. I don't know. It's the most bizarre thing. Again, I was like, okay, so you actually incorporated that into the design of the building. All right, cool. So
it's a long contract. It's a 50-year contract. It's like DVC.
It would have to be like something like that. I don't know. So as part of the alliance, of course, Minnie Maybell is also going to be a sponsor of Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and Disney Cruise Line. So, you'll be able to get lots of little mini cheeses places now.
I'm going to run to Schnucks. Do they sell that stuff at Schnucks? I'll check it out. Baybel. Yeah. Baybel.
It's Baby Bell. I'm sorry. Minnie Baby Bell. I always want to say Baybel. It's Baby Bell.
It's cheese. So it's in the cheese section.
B-A-B-Y-B-E-L. Mini Baby Bell.
Checking it out before this show even airs. Before it hits the presses, I'm going to have to check it out. All right. So what else besides Woody's Lunchbox?
So I just think that's the most bizarre thing.
That is pretty cool. I can't wait for Toy Story Land. I'm getting more and more excited for it each and every day. It's going to be fun.
It's definitely interesting. I did see the model when I was there. And, the Alien Swirling Saucer Ride is pretty much going to be what, like, Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, which is, if you've done that at Cars Land at DCA, it's going to be almost exactly like that, which that's a fun little ride, I have to say. Like, Brian and I really enjoyed that. So, and then it looks like the Slinky coaster is going to be actually really long.
Yeah, it looks like, long. That's what I was thinking, too. That's cool. I was thinking a Barnstormer-like ride, but it's bigger than that.
No, it's definitely bigger than a Barnstormer. I saw, obviously, it was a concept, but... they had two trains on the track at once. And obviously, again, this is, concept depending on how it actually works out. I don't know. But that would mean that there would have to be three trains at least because one would be in the station waiting to, loading guests. So I'm thinking there's probably at least three trains for this. So it's going to probably be a decent coaster.
Yeah, the seven loops were a little excessive. But other than that, it's pretty sweet.
No loops, I promise you. There are no loops in this roller coaster. It's going to be a very, I'll say mostly gentle roller coaster. I mean, it's a step up from Barnstormer for sure.
Is it as scary as Seven Dwarves? Where would you put it with Seven Dwarves Mine Train? Scarier or less scary?
I think I would need to ride it. That's true. Like, that's going to be really hard to kind of judge because it is so, like, it's so different than anything that Disney has. You know what I'm saying?
And you're riding a Slinky Dog. Come on now. That's awesome. You know, but I hate to say this, but like at our Valley of Flowers, like our traveling carnivals, we have like slinky dog looking coasters.
Yeah.
There's always like a wiener dog coaster at the local fair.
I don't think I remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Well, continuing. So there had been rumors that the Jingle Cruise would not be returning for the holiday season. I would just like to say that the Jingle Cruise will be returning to Walt Disney World this holiday season, and it opens on November 2nd.
Which is yesterday.
Oh,
it's open. Okay. Jingle bells.
I mean, it opened yesterday. Hooray. So we don't record these early. so it is already open now. So I know a lot of people had said that it wouldn't be opening. Thanks to Disneyland, it's not opening out there. So enjoy your Jingle Cruise.
Yeah. Are you a fan of the Jingle Cruise? I am. I think it's, I mean, cause you can get the regular cruise, you know, the rest of the year. I like the Jingle Cruise. I wish they would go more in though. Like they're only like 50% in. Go all the way.
I agree. I do wish they would go all the way in. And of course, like I said, my heart is in the Jingle Cruise because I don't know about this year because I, you know, obviously haven't seen it yet. But you know, on the board that they have is my brother's name. So, I mean, I definitely have, you know, it's where my heart is right there. So, you know,
your heart will go on just like, exactly. Kenny just like G Kenny over G. in the American Adventure. Nice. That's always a song. Okay, anyway, more news. We have about 10 minutes left. We got to pack this. People are getting excited for those trips, I hope.
They are. Okay, so the Epcot International Festival of the Arts is returning this year. The festival will be taking place from January 12th to February 19th. And new for this year, last year they only had the festival Monday through Friday. This year, the festival will be taking place 7 days a week. So that's kind of nice. Now, the festival focuses on the arts. So it focuses on, you know, actual drawing type art. It focuses on, like, performance art. And it focuses on food art.
They're going to put food in there. That's a good call. That's a good call, Disney.
So
that's called the culinary arts. I just thought of that. The culinary arts. Yes.
Yes, that is
spicing up the joint here.
By the way,
I know.
So,
go ahead.
You know, yeah. Okay. All right. So so they're gonna have that. And new for the not new for this year because I realized that they had it last year too. But they I didn't feel like it was something that they really advertised a lot. And it feels like they're trying to advertise a little bit more. They're going to have the Disney on Broadway dining packages. So guests who are looking to see these Broadway style performances are going to be able to eat and then have a reserved seat for the Disney on Broadway performance that's going to happen. And now we don't know the artists that are going to be performing just yet. Of course, they probably already announced it.
That's how it always works.
Out, so,
yep,
you know,
exactly.
I've already ruined that. But, so we don't know who is performing just yet. But last year they had, people like Ashley Brown, who was Mary Poppins, and Josh Strickland, who was in Tarzan. They had them performing together. They had performances by a couple of the people that were in The Lion King. So they had some really great artists that were performing. So I'm curious to see kind of where they bring this year as well. And I really love that they were doing this, you know, as a theater nerd. It makes my heart happy that they're doing something like this.
So now you went to the Festival of the Arts last year, right?
I did not.
You did not? No. I thought you did.
So because it's in that weird time of between January and February, it's after Marathon Weekend. Like, it literally starts the weekend after Marathon Weekend, you know, because that's what they do want to do. They don't want to do it during Marathon Weekend because, yeah. And then it goes to, like, the middle of February. So I don't usually get back to Disney after Marathon Weekend until usually the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival. So I missed it last year, and I'm probably going to be missing it this year unless I can squeeze in a little quick trip.
Let me ask you this. So obviously it's a lighter festival than Food and Wine. It's a lighter festival even than Flower and Garden. But like, say somebody's going down during that time, like, what's your suggestion? They know nothing about the Festival of the Arts, but they're going to be there during this time. Is this something that, does it change crowd patterns dramatically, or is it something that just enhances your day at Epcot maybe?
I think that it's still so new. Let's put it this way, because this is only the second year. I think that it is not changing crowd patterns, but it really is just an enhancement of your vacation.
And isn't that nice? I mean, that's a good thing. I like that.
Yes, absolutely. Last year they had exhibits and galleries. They had interactive workshops where you could, that I think is probably the coolest thing. They had interactive workshops where you could learn how to do different kind of artistic things. So like calligraphy or flower arranging or card making or cake decorating, or you could do like the, oh my gosh, what did they used to do at Disney's Hollywood Studios? The character where you drew the character. You could do that.
Yeah, the caricatures.
Yeah, you could learn how to do all these kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's fantastic. You know, they bring in some of the artists that they have that work at Disney to, you know, for the cake making. They bring in people from Amorette's Patisserie. You can learn how to make truffles, and those are people from the ganacherie. You know, you could learn how to make... last year, you could learn how to make 2D cell animation and paint your very own ink and paint cell. That was Disney animation artists, you know, that were doing that. So they really are seem to be bringing in a lot of their own people for this, which I think is fantastic. Bringing in their own creativity.
How smart is that? Because Disney has like some of the most talented cast members, you know, employees on the planet. And even like our friend Brendan, you know, who doesn't necessarily work in... you know, like an artistic capacity for Disney, is one of the best artists I've ever seen in my entire life. Like the stuff he creates, like I almost wish Disney would do more of this, where they could celebrate their kind of hidden talents of their cast members that are very, very artistic. But especially like when you're making those direct connections with, you know, your pastry chefs and having them display their awesome talents. And, you know, like I say, you know, everything, you know, you have so many great artists that bring things to life every day, and in just the general operations of the Walt Disney World Resort, share that, celebrate that. I think that's a great opportunity. I'm glad they're doing that.
Absolutely. And like I said, there's so many different arts that are out there that I think celebrating these is a really genius thing. So I'm all for this, and I really, really, really hope that I can somehow squeeze in a quick trip to get to see the festival.
All right. Well, how about one more story as we get out of here on a Friday and have a great first weekend of November. Can you believe it? Holy cow.
I cannot. So this is going to be something that's going to be a short-term thing. So if you're going to be in Disney over the next few weeks, this is going to be something that you can participate in. And it is going to be the Coco Family Celebration. It takes place at Disney Springs, and it is paired with the release of the upcoming Disney Pixar film, Coco. It takes place 6 o'clock in the evening to 10 p.m. in the Exposition Park area on the west side. And here you'll be able to experience live music, specialty food, theme decor, family activities, all inspired by the world of Coco. And this is only and this is during the week, but then on the weekends there's special activities that kids can do, such as themed games, activities, face painting, that kind of thing. So really it just kind of ties in the world of Coco to Disney Springs, which again is such a fantastic idea. Just something small, short, little that they can do, you know, and have families get entertained by this and learn more about the film and stuff like that. I really like when they do these little activities, and this is one of those things where it proves to you that there's always something different and new that you can do at Disney. They always have something little like that, even if it's just something little like this that you can do.
Now, where did you say that was taking place at Disney Springs?
It is taking place in the Exposition Park area.
And where would that be in Disney Springs?
That I knew you were going to ask that question.
West Side.
Yes, it's on the west side. I'm not even going to go there. It's where the food trucks are, though, for people who are actually looking for where this is going to be. So that's the Exposition Park area.
And real quick, before we get out of here, how about Disney Quest? Boy, they didn't waste any time knocking that sucker down. It was just like, boom, gone. Like, what was that, like 2 or 3 days? I mean, wham.
Yeah, it was like gone.
Takes them a decade to build a building and 3 days to knock it down.
No kidding. I mean, seriously. What is taking you so long to build these things? You can knock down a building in 3 days.
Man. So, yeah. And I was seeing the demolition pictures on social media, and I kept looking for Q-Bert and Burger Time. I was trying to find the machines.
I'm pretty sure they took those all out.
I'd love to have one of those.
Safekeeping or had been sold. So.
All right. Well, thanks for the news. We appreciate it. Hopefully everybody's getting excited. You know, we want this trip to always be something that, you know, not only fills those long gaps between trips, you know, it does it for us because we don't get to go as much as we would like either. But hopefully get you excited for the next trip, because maybe something Ricky brought up today is something that, is a new experience for you on your next Walt Disney World vacation, whether it's a nice restaurant at Disney Springs, a festival at Epcot, or, you know, this Cocoa Festival. You know, just the things we talked about today, hopefully it gives you something to look forward to, because like Ricky said, there's always something new happening at Walt Disney World, and I think that's why we go back time and time again. So,
absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Ricky. We appreciate the news and the updates. Where can people, you know, keep up with all your news? Because you put out a lot of stuff, and we don't talk about that very much. I mean, you're always putting out the news. Where's the best place to catch all that stuff?
So there's a couple of places. You can go to The Mouse for Less. Every Monday is my news article. I post the roundup of news, and you can go there. And lately I've been, of course, I haven't done it in a couple weekends because I've been out of town, but on the BR Guest page, I am also doing a video that I add into the post as well. But I'm doing a video chat with you guys where I do it on a Sunday. I don't ever have a time that I do it. It just kind of depends on what time I, you know, can fit it into my Sunday. But I'll share the news with you guys that way. And then also, you know, through the week, you guys can look at the news on Touring Plans because I write for them and I write their news.
All righty. All right. Well, hey, we're going to get out of here. Let's get on with your weekend. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for the next Disney adventure, support the best, you know, work with the best. That's the folks over at the Magic for Less. So drop by today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote over at themagicforless.com. Right now is a great time to book that 2019 Disney cruise, the first part of Disney cruise. I think it's through May of 2019. Lots of itineraries are out there. Book it and get cruising with Disney Cruise Line. Of course, up to a 5% onboard credit with all Disney Cruise Line bookings when you book with the Magic for Less, so check them out. Of course, World and Disneyland and Universal as well. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Most important part. So check them out today at themagicforless.com. Also, don't forget to support the show through this holiday season when you do your online purchasing over at Amazon. Please do bookmark the link today. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits. You will get the exact same price, but Amazon rewards us a little for sending you their way. It's a great way to support the show that costs you absolutely nothing. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please do support the show with your online shopping, which I know is going to be amped up here as we go through the next couple of months. So we hope you use the link. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media and Instagram and Twitter, I should say, at Be Our Guest Mike, and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on through weekend. Time to have some fun. We're going to beat some Gators in Columbia tomorrow and continue the celebration for Paige. I can't believe I'm still in shock. She was in elementary school yesterday. I'm not kidding, man. When you have kids, they grow up way, way too fast. That's ridiculous that we're going to be going to Fast Eddie's together. That's crazy. That's just wrong. That's wrong. And Hannah's 21. And
I know.
What happened? They were the kids of the podcast.
They were.
Anyway.
I'm hanging out with them like.
It's crazy.
Like, there's nothing else. So it's crazy.
I don't
crazy.
Even know what to say. So anyway, we're going to get out of here. So you all have a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.